We're going to consider the great mystery of godliness. John chapter 1. I'll read several scriptures having to do with the great mystery of godliness. First of all, verse 10. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and taking this verse, using it for our understanding, it says, He, the Lord Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. So here is the Creator. He is in the world, and the world knew Him not. Well, let's read on. Look at verse 26. They're talking to John the Baptist, asking him who he is, and John answers them, I baptize in water. In the midst of you standeth one whom you know not. Look down at verse 30. John the Baptist says, This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man who is to come before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. Strange, isn't it? Verse 32, John bare witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize in water, he said unto me, Upon whomsoever thou shalt see the Spirit descending and abiding upon him, the same is he that baptizeth in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. Now chapter 5. Verse 31, the Savior says, If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. That means that if he, as a man without corroboration, says grandiose things about himself, that witness is not true. Verse 32, It is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. You have sent unto John, and he hath borne witness unto the truth. But the witness which I receive is not from man. Howbeit I say these things that ye may be saved. He was a lamp that burneth and shineth, and you were willing to rejoice for a season in his light. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father that sent me, he hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he sent. Him you believe not. You search the scriptures because ye think that in them ye have eternal life, and these are they which bear witness of me. And ye will not come to me that ye may have life. That's enough for now. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we rejoice in this book that tells us about the one who fills our hearts with joy. We are so glad that you have preserved it. We could wish that we had heard Paul preach, John, Peter, but our Father, that was not our privilege, but our God. We have this record of the things that happened when they were on earth, and we are glad. We pray that the evidence that thou hast given us shall be sufficient unto us. And we know that it is, if a man's heart is willing to receive it. So this morning, our Father, we pray that we may enter a little more into the great mystery of godliness. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive our sins, and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. You have promised to do this. And you are able to prepare hearts in a way that no wisdom of man is able to accomplish. So by thy Spirit, do that. And our Father, you are able to lift up one who is without power and empower in a way that men shall receive the words he speaks as the very words of God. So accomplish that for us here this morning, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I told you last week that the greatness of the mystery of godliness was this. It was our Savior, God, manifest in the flesh. This being so, if when our Savior was on earth, if you were on earth with him and looked him in the face, would you know that you were looking into the face of God? And the answer is no. Perhaps you're inclined to disagree with me, and I am inclined to agree with you, but I challenge any brother in the meeting to show me any human being that recognized the Lord Jesus without first being introduced to him. Any brother. Tell me anybody who knew him without first being introduced to him by walking up to him, conversing with him, looking at him. Tell me anybody who knew that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh by simply associating with him and looking at him. You say, well, you read me the verse that said he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. It says what? The world knew him not. Yes. And John the Baptist made this confession. I was in the world with him. I was 6 months older than he was. I'm kin to him, but I confess, I knew him not. You say, John the Baptist didn't recognize him? No. God said, John, I'm going to point out who this Messiah is. My son, whom I'm sending from heaven, I'm going to point him out a certain way. And John the Baptist said, how? He said, you will see the heavens open and the Spirit of God descending upon him and abiding upon him. And when you see that, you will know that this is the one I've sent from heaven. Isn't that remarkable? You say, well, John didn't know him. John did not know him. His mother did not know him. Joseph, the husband of Mary, did not know him. His brothers did not know him. You say, you mean he lived in the house with his brothers, weren't with them, and they did not know him? That's what the Bible says. His brethren did not believe on him. It says that Nathanael did not know him. It says that Philip did not know him. And Philip was with him for 3 years. And Philip said, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And the Lord Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and dost thou not know me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How are you saying, show us the Father? You say, why, that's a remarkable thing. No, it's perfectly in harmony with the scriptures that I read to you and the verse that says, great is the mystery of godliness. And this is what I venture to say to you, that if you were on earth and have the same opportunity to talk with Jesus, look at him, you would never know you were looking into the face of God, but that is what you would be doing. The woman at the well of Samaria looked at him, and she said, you are a Jew. You look at Jesus, and you would know you were looking at a Jew. You say, I don't like that at all. I'm sorry. It's what God tells us. You mean you look into the face of Jesus and the only thing you could know for sure is that he was a Jew? That's all that that woman knew. You say, well, give me the testimony of a person who was more reverent than she. All right, I'll give you Nathanael. Nathanael, of whom the Savior said, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said concerning him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Did Nathanael know him? You say, no, Nathanael did not know him. Well, what about the rulers of this world? That's why I had 1 Corinthians 2 read. It says, none of the rulers knew this one. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so the Lord Jesus came from heaven, walked among men, and no one ever recognized him as God manifest in the flesh, unless it was revealed by the Father through the Spirit. And you would not recognize him either. You're no better than Philip. You're no better than John the Baptist. You have no more perception than any other man. And for that reason, unless God illumines, you cannot know. The Lord Jesus would have us to understand that. And let me tell you, for this reason, and I rejoice in it, the biggest joke that God has ever played on man is this. In sending God as a tired Jew, weary, sitting thirsty at the well of Samaria. You say, that's inconceivable. Here is a thirsty, weary, tired Jew sitting at a well, and a woman comes up to him, and he could tell her, I'm God that made you. You say, that thing is inconceivable. And God has planned it, and God has designed it that way, that nobody can know who Jesus is unless the Father reveals him. Now, if Jesus appeared among men the way that I've seen these paintings, I would know him immediately. Why? Because I've seen these paintings, and there was this magnificent shining face. There was a halo around his head. I would say, I know who you are. I would recognize him immediately. But tell me any place in the Bible that he's ever pictured that way, except on the Mount of Transfiguration, which is not the norm. It's the abnormal way. Tell me any time he was ever seen in a glorious form other than on that Mount of Transfiguration. You say, why, at no time. And another joke is this, that the Savior is so exhausted after a day's work that he is asleep in the boat and the storm is tossing that boat around and it doesn't even wake him up. And he is God manifest in the flesh and nobody would ever recognize it. But when they went and woke him from his sleep and said, save Master, we perish. And then the Lord Jesus stood up and he said to the winds and to the sea, peace, be still. And immediately they obeyed him. And then we found out that they fell at his feet and said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. But it was not until he revealed himself that they ever knew who he was. And so when God decided to come to earth, he decided to come in a way that nobody would recognize unless God revealed him. Yet, the Lord did give evidences, and in the heart of a man that was seeking. The moment God gave those evidences, if any man was of the truth, immediately he recognized the Lord Jesus. Nathanael, he said a moment before, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And the Lord Jesus said, why, Nathanael, you're an Israelite in whom is no guile, an Israelite indeed. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? And the Lord Jesus said, why, before Philip called thee, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You say, well, he knew him when? You say, after Jesus introduced himself to him. That's the only way. And Nathanael would have said, you come from Nazareth? Well, I wonder if you're any good. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But what happened was this. The moment the holy, sinless Son of God spoke to man, walked among men, then, unless their heart was as hard as that illustration we had, a stony heart, they would acknowledge who he was. So remember this, that when I read you in verse 10, and we're taking it for the incarnation that we can understand, it said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So can you tell me anyone who ever knew him without divinely being introduced to him? You say, I can think of no one. And for that reason, God said, I'm going to show you so that you cannot mistake who this one is. And he started out with his public ministry. But until then, he never gave any manifestation other than a human being living among men in perfect obedience to his parents and in perfect obedience to his heavenly Father. He never gave any special miraculous evidence that God was among men for 30 years in obscurity in the village of Nazareth most of the time until he manifested himself publicly and God witnessed at his baptism. You say, that is such a strange way for God to go about doing things. It is the way that God insists on doing things. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul is challenging all the wisdom of them, those that are supposed to know God. And let me warn all of you who supposedly know God, all of these philosophers who know God and can tell you about God. Paul says, where is the wise man? Where is the disputer of this world? Where is the debater of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God. It was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God has thought up the most foolish way to reveal himself to men on earth, and God has thought up the most foolish way to save men. And man looks at it and he says, Jesus is God? And he throws up his hands and laughs at you. They say, he's a man. And tell me the way to get to heaven. You trust that Jesus died for your sins upon the cross. And this one who died for you can give you life. And they laugh and say, by the preaching of the cross, it's to them that perish foolishness. And so God said, well, I have this preach because if I give anything that man could figure out by his wisdom, then the flesh could glory. And so what I've determined to do is to send my son in such a way that nobody can recognize him, even though he is God. And men are purporting to be wise, able to recognize the things of God. No man recognized him on earth. And at the same time, man, with his philosophy, figuring out a way to get back to God. And God says, let them ever figure this out. That I send someone to die and be crucified in weakness, to bear sins in his body on the tree. And that's the way I'm going to save man. And man laughs at it and says it's folly. This is what happens. God speaks to the Jews and he speaks to the Greeks. And it says the preaching of the cross is to the Jews a stumbling block. They cannot accept a crucified Messiah. And it says to the Greeks, foolishness. Who ever heard of salvation through a crucified man? Such a thing is foolishness. And God said, that is just the way that I wanted it. And so what am I to do this morning? I'm doing the same thing that Paul did. He said, when I came to you, I came not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He said, but when I came, I preached Christ crucified. And when the Spirit of God works in a man's heart, this is what happens. It says that the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. And I tell you this morning that I, a fool for Christ, have looked at Christ in weakness and I've seen omnipotence. And I've looked at Jesus Christ on the cross and I've seen the greatest wisdom that has ever been manifested toward man. You say, well, you must be a fool. Only fools can see the wisdom of God. Because it says, in the wisdom of God, God determined that man through his wisdom should not know God. And the Lord Jesus said this. He said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you revealed them unto babes. Yea, Father, for so it was well-pleasing in thy sight. And so I go through life, and I understand that the world is not by chance, and the meaning of my existence does have a meaning, but God has so disguised it that even though there is a meaning, I can never apprehend that meaning unless God by His Spirit reveals it to me. But now, I'm going to show you the thing that is most contradictory. I told you that the finest of men never recognized Jesus Christ. I hasten to add that never did a fallen, unclean, foul spirit of Satan fail to recognize Jesus Christ. You say, what? The moment the Lord Jesus would come into the presence of a demon, an evil spirit, they would fall down at his feet and say, we know you who you are. You are the Holy One of God. You are the Son of God. You say, why? That's astounding that no good man recognized him, and every evil spirit never failed to recognize him. When he came to Legion, that man that was filled with demons, they said, we know you who you are. Every time the Lord Jesus came to an evil spirit and they uttered any words, they were words of recognition, and they acknowledged his person and his life and judgment to come, and they said, have you come to torment us before the time? They knew exactly what God's program was. And so these evil spirits knew the God that made them, that was with them in heaven before they rebelled and became evil spirits. They all knew him, and thank God all the good angels knew the Lord Jesus Christ, because the angels were the ones that God sent to announce the coming of the Lord Jesus. And the shepherds did not know who he was, and Mary did not know who this one that was going to be born of her was. And so God sent good angels, and they told human beings about this one who was going to come into the world, told what his name was to be, what his mission was to be, and what his future was to be. And so you say, well, all angelic beings, the good ones and the evil ones, knew who the Lord Jesus was, and yet his creatures, when he was with them on earth, not one of them ever knew who he was without a special revelation from God. That is true, and neither do you. You have no conception that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, that this man is your only hope for all eternity, unless the Spirit of God reveals it to you. And you can study all the religions of the world, the comparative religions of the world, and compare Jesus to Confucius, and also to all the other wise men of the world. And you say, well, now I think that Jesus has these good points, Confucius has these good points, and you take all the philosophies of the world, and you will never be saved. But what God does is to point out one man and say, Jesus is the Savior of sinners. He is the only way you can be saved. And so here is man, not knowing who Jesus is, but if he smites upon his breast and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, the Father will reveal who Jesus is and say, Jesus is the one who bore your sins in his own body upon the tree. And then you say, yes. And all of us who are like babes in our weakness and in our lack of ability to comprehend, the omniscient Spirit of God gives us that understanding. And then we see him and we receive him as Savior. So remember that even Nicodemus, who was a man of the Pharisees, he was one who was a teacher in Israel, and he wanted to find out about Jesus Christ. But when he came to the Lord Jesus and was reasoning with him, the Savior had to say to him, are you the teacher in Israel, and you do not understand these things? No man with his own wisdom can comprehend the person of Christ and the works of Christ. the plan of God. No one can comprehend it. But the simplest of men, when the Spirit of God comes into his heart and reveals it to him, he says, why, yes, you don't know. Jesus loved me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. He died for me on the cross. He rose again. He's coming back. You don't understand that? And the wise men of the world say, no, I do not understand it. And the Lord Jesus said, I thank you, Father, that you hid it from the wise and understanding. All right. If this is true, how then am I able to know that Jesus is God? How do you know that I, in my folly, and remember, the world is filled with preachers that tell you other foolish things, not Jesus Christ, but they will tell you other foolish things. They will say, I am God, give you all sorts of fantastic fables and myths, like Joseph Smith and like Mary Baker Eddy, and I do not apologize for mentioning these things. They will give you myths, and so you ask this question, well, how do I know that Jesus is God? Because you tell me I of myself cannot know it. That is why I read to you in John chapter 5. He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. That means apart from being corroborated by someone else. I shan't go into what he said in John 8. But the Lord Jesus said, I understand that if I say something about myself, you want confirmation. You want a second witness. And the Bible teaches that. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And the Lord Jesus said, fine. All right. I am saying certain things about myself. What I'm going to do is to produce witnesses that agree with the things that I'm saying about myself. Another thing. He said, not only that, but I am performing works to corroborate that what I say is true. So you say, then looking at him and listening to him cannot prove that he's God. But if he makes a claim concerning himself and someone corroborates that claim and this witness is above reproach, and if he makes a claim and performs a miracle to corroborate that claim, then his claim is true, and that is the way that you seek it out. And when the Lord Jesus saw that man let down from the roof, he said to him, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the Jews were upset, and they said, now this man blasphemous. Nobody can forgive sins but God alone. And the Lord Jesus said, I will accept that. He said, that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. I'm going to prove it to you now. He said, that you may know it. He said, I'm not just saying it because if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. He said, I'm going to prove it this way. He said to this paralyzed man, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man took up his bed and walked. And I challenge Oral Roberts and all the faith healers of the world to get a man that is a paralytic, a person that is blind, a leper, a dead man, to come up and say, all the claims that I'm making, all of these are true and I'm going to prove it. All right, leper, I'm touching you. Be cleansed. He will stay a leper and let him go to a funeral procession and put his hand upon the dead one there and say, rise up from the dead. All these things will prove them false. And therefore, the only claim I have for you to believe me is that I'm preaching the Word of God, because these things are written that you may believe, and I'm preaching the Word of God, and I leave it to the Spirit of God to witness in your heart that what I am saying is true. But the Lord Jesus said, the words that I speak, he said, they need confirmation, all right. The works that I do, they bear witness of me. And that is what so infuriated the Jews. The Lord Jesus knew what the Father wanted him to do. And he was in the synagogue on a Sabbath, and a man with a withered hand was there. And the Jews were watching him to see what he would do on the Sabbath day. And he said, I have a question for you. Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? To kill or to make alive? And they would not answer that question. And the Lord Jesus looked round about on them with anger. And he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. And the man stretched it forth. And it says they were filled with madness because they could not deny that the authority that he spoke was witnessed to by the power that he performed. You say, then, if a man comes to me, and I'm giving you the threefold test that God tells us to give, if a man comes to me and he makes a statement, and then he performs a miracle to confirm that statement, and then he preaches to me the word of God, and he lives a life above reproach, then I must accept the truth that the man speaks, and I must accept the testimony he gives concerning himself. And the answer is yes, absolutely. And the Lord Jesus met every qualification. It said, if a man is a prophet, if he tells something that's going to come to pass, it has to come to pass. If it does not come to pass, he is not a prophet. He is false. The Lord Jesus said, now you go in to the town, and I need a donkey to ride on, and when you go in, you'll find this donkey tied so-and-so. And the disciples went in, and they found that donkey there. Remarkable, isn't it? The Lord Jesus said, now, we have to eat the Passover. He said, you go, and as you go, you will meet a man that's bearing a pitcher of water. And they went, and they met a man bearing a pitcher of water. And the Lord Jesus, who said to Peter, who wanted to walk on the water, he said, if it be thou, then you command that I walk upon the water. And the Lord Jesus said, walk. And Peter began to walk on the water. And then he tried with his own intelligence to grasp what was happening, and he began to sink. But the Lord Jesus gave him power to walk upon the water. The Lord Jesus said, to show you that I am who I am, you go out now, and you perform all these miracles. And they went forth, and everything he had empowered them to do, they did do, and they came back and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in thy name. Well, of course they were, because the Lord Jesus empowered them. And when he sent them on earth, he said, go. He said, when the Spirit of God has come upon you, you shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And the Spirit of God came upon these disciples. And therefore, the promises that the Lord Jesus made concerning the future, every one of them was fulfilled. Not one of them failed. You say, all right, what he said came to pass. But after that, if he says it and it comes to pass, he must preach the word of God in harmony with all that is the truth from heaven. And there is not one word that the Lord Jesus ever said that contradicted the things in the scriptures. His whole system of doctrine was one of truth and light and beauty, revealing the Father. It says, the Son came into the world to reveal the Father. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, he hath led him forth. You say, then, he spoke the truth of God. Yes. You say, well, his life must be above reproach. And the Lord Jesus looked at his enemies and he said, which of you convinceth me of sin? And not one of them said a word. And when he was crucified, they hired liars to come and have trumped up charges against him. Why? Because no man could show that there was any sin in the Savior. And so if someone comes and he says, I am who I am, and he teaches you the word of God in truth, and his life is above reproach, and he has witnesses such as John the Baptist, and the Spirit of God within, and even the Father in heaven said again and again that this was his Son. At his baptism, the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so John the Baptist has witnessed concerning Christ, and that is why I read it to you. John said, I did not know him, but God was making no mistake, telling me who he was. And I saw the heavens open. I saw the Spirit of God as a dove descending, abiding upon him. And he said, this is the Messiah. And he said, I bear witness that this is the Son of God. And so what can you do? When you have the words of Christ, when you have the works of Christ, when you have the testimony of John the Baptist, when you have the testimony of God the Father from heaven, then what must you do concerning this person? You say, the only thing I can do is to accept him as God manifest in the flesh, or reject him, as it says in John chapter 3. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. But there is no heart that wants Christ as Savior, wants truth that the Spirit of God will not witness to and point out, this is the Son of God, this is the promised Messiah. And one thing that is irrefutable, and it is this. How do I know that Jesus is the Son of God? That the Father himself said when he came into the world, let all the angels of God worship him. I see. God forbids anyone to worship. God forbids anyone to take his place. And anyone who takes his place is God. The man, God says, who is my fellow, and therefore this one who was with God and was God, comes into the world, and the Father says, let all the angels of God worship him. And when he was on earth, tell me any time did he ever refuse worship when men came and fell down before him? You say he never did. Tell me any angel that ever received worship, the good angels. The evil angels want you to worship them like Satan. Satan said, fall down and worship me. But Satan said, get thee hence. But the good angel that was speaking to John was so overpowered with his glory that he fell down to worship him. And the angel said, see thou do it not. I am a servant of God. And men came and worshiped the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus accepted that worship. Why? Because he had been worshiped from all eternity in heaven. He accepted the worship on earth. And this day he is being worshipped in heaven again. And so this is part of the greatness of the mystery of godliness. The joke that God has played on man, sending his Son into the world, and man looking upon him and not knowing who he was, and yet God revealing to babes and those that are lacking wisdom, revealing the person of Christ to them. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, let us know that we are convinced that salvation is of the Lord. No man could ever think of such a thing, such folly, and yet you have thought it to be that way, and you have said it to be that way, and you have made it that way. And yet we are so glad that so many of us here have said, the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. We are thankful for this revelation. And we pray that what you've shown to us, Father, you shall show to all here. And that they shall realize that there is a God. And that this God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And they shall receive him as their Savior. And they shall worship him because he is God, manifest in the flesh. We thank you for this one to whom thou hast given the name that is above every name. And we acknowledge him this day. Thy Son, the Son of God. Amen.